Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and everybody else that's listening in. And if you're not in the family of God, you can be today. All you have to do is, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's what the Bible says. That's a written confirmation from Almighty God in writing that if you'll trust in his Son Jesus, he'll give you eternal life and bring you home to heaven when you leave that body. I don't know anybody that would, in their right mind, that would turn that something like that down, but there are the majority. Wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, the Bible says. Hope that's not you. Hope you'll consider, not only consider, but urgently accept the Lord as your Savior today. You can do it by yourself, right there, right now, by telling the Lord that you're a sinner. Tell the Lord that you know that you believe that he died for your sins and that you want him as your Savior. And you want to trust in Jesus and his righteousness to get you to heaven. And the Lord will keep his promise to you because of your faith toward his word. And he'll write your name down in the book of life and give you eternal life and never take it away, ever. All right, let's go back into our study today. We're studying the letter W for witnessing. I'm going to give you a few details today. My chair is getting kind of squeaky, so if you hear that, I'm sorry. You might have heard me take a drink out of my coffee and put my coffee cup down too hard. You hear a little fan going in the background. It's kind of muggy out today. It's been raining, and down here in Florida, you know how humid it is. And if you hear some rain outside right now, it's because it's raining. These are just as natural as they can be, brothers and sisters. I ain't trying to put on no show, and I'm not trying to be theatrical in any way. It's going to be me. And the Bible says the simplicity of Christ, that we worship him in simplicity and truth. Simplicity and truth. And that's what we're going to do. And that's why we can sit down and fellowship and rejoice around God's word, isn't it? I hope that all is well with you and that you're putting your trust. The Bible says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure things out on your own. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's what you got to do. Don't try to figure things out. There's a lot of more things in this life that we don't know and we can't figure out that God does have the answers for. And it's no elementary thing to trust God or a foolish thing to trust God in even the simplest things or the most complicated things or the most drastic or crazy things that happen in this life. We trust him. We trust him for our groceries. We trust him for our rent money. We trust him to keep a roof over our head. We trust him to keep our heart beating. We trust him to take care of our children. We trust him. We trust him. We trust him. And we trust him with our hearts, and we trust him with simplicity. There's no complication, no confusion in it, and we trust him in truth. In truth. Witnessing. Last thing we talked about in our witnessing recording is how often should you witness? We also talked about is witnessing the duty of every Christian. And we went over the scriptures there, and that's what makes it right and makes it truth, is because God says so. We're not interested in finding out what everybody thinks, and even though we'd be kind and listen to people, but if it goes against the scriptures, it's wrong. It's wrong. God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How often should you witness? Well, the Bible says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus. Now, that was that's Acts chapter 5, at the beginning of the church, when Jesus was just transferring everything over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the New Covenant, that he was fixing to go to the cross for. And the Bible also said in Acts chapter 20, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul claimed that he wasn't guilty of the blood of any man, that he tried to witness to everybody that he came in contact with. Now, I can't say that. I've not, there's been people that I've allowed the devil to talk me out of, and I've kind of been a coward and chickened out, and for whatever reasons, I've not spoken to everybody that I could have. But I want to. I want to obey the Lord and be a witness when I need to be a witness and sow and reap. And that's what we're going to be getting into in the next lesson or the following one, is about the different ways of witnessing, four steps to soul winning, that four different avenues of soul winning that you could possibly be part of, depending on how God wants to use you and where you're at and who you're around and all the different little things that the Lord knows that we don't know. You might have bumped shoulders with somebody today that needed to hear something spiritual and see some light off of you. And that would have been watering somebody, or either sowing a seed or something like that, or watering a seed that's already been planted. Maybe somebody's walking around thinking about God, and you go by and say, "Praise the Lord," or tell them something spiritual or something with light in it, and it pours water on that seed and gets it prepared to take root and to grow. And that's what soul winning is drawing people, God the Holy Ghost, using the Word of God through us, draws people to the Lord. And they grow into it. So how often should you be a witness? We talked about that. Be a witness when you can. And if you want a systematic soul win, which there's absolutely nothing in the world wrong with, get you a partner and go knock on doors and soul win. But be very cautious and prayerful about it today, because this world is changing. And there's a lot of different, with all the rules changing and all the government changing and all the different things changing in society, it used to be free that you could knock on people's doors, and people weren't as scared as they are now. So take that into consideration when you're witnessing. God can do anything, of course. But the Lord said, let not your good be evil spoken of, and not to give place to the devil. So we need to be cautious about what we do. Nevertheless, that's what the most important thing is getting people saved and getting them to heaven. Because every one of them is going to die. Every one of them is going to die. And they're going to give account. And their soul's going somewhere. And the Bible only speaks of two different places, no matter what the religions say. The Bible only says there's two different places that a soul goes, and that's either heaven, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or hell. And the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Whole different study on itself. We have study in the ABCs of Christian growth having to do with health and all those different things. So today we're going to talk about four steps to soul winning, but what is God's requirements for you to be a witness for Christ? Does God require things? Well, in a certain, as far as requirement goes, I mean, you ain't got to fill out an application or nothing like that. That's not what we're talking about. Requirements are not just speaking the word, but living the word. In other words, there's some requirements for your soul winning to be fruitful. You say, Brother TV, what are you talking about? Well, for instance, the first requirement is that God requires you to have a burden for souls. How are you going to win somebody to the Lord if you don't have a burden for souls? If you could care less whether a soul dies and goes to hell, and you don't really matter to you, how are you going to be successful about it? The things of God, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything spiritual stems from your heart. Your heart is, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. We talked about that earlier. God requires you to have a soul, have a burden for souls. And I want to tell you something. There's joy and there's sorrow in having burdens for souls. The writer said, Brother David, King David, he said that when he was mad and complaining to the Lord about the wicked and how they were getting their way and how they had all the good things and all this and that and the other, and then he said, then he stopped for a minute and took a breath and said, and then I remembered their end. Yeah. See, that's a burden. A burden will cause you to think of the important things no matter what comes in. I mean, there's problems and there's this and there's what they deserve and this and that and the other. But when it comes all down to the end of it, it's then I remember their end. And that changes everything. There's people that out there that that deserve, that have treated you in such a way that they deserve for the Lord to whoop them. And the Lord does whip some people that mess with you. The Bible says that God takes pleasure in recompensing them that trouble you. And sometimes we want to ask the Lord to pay them back or make them stop or this, that, and the other. But as you grow in your walk with the Lord, while you're speaking those things, which are right to speak, because the Lord says for us to come to Him and let your requests be known unto God and to come to Him about everything. He's our Father. But when we do and we start saying things like that, then we remember their end. We grow as we become closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and become like Him. And our mind is being conformed into His thinking. Then we begin to think about the most important things about them. Yeah, they do this and they do that, and they've done it to me, and they're sinners, and they hate God, and all these different things. But then I remembered their end. Your burden begins to grow for them people back behind them eyeballs. Their souls, and you know the truth and they don't, and your burden takes over. God requires you to have a burden. In Esther chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred?" And of course that was Esther when she was talking to the king. I think that was the time that she was talking to the king and telling the king that Naaman is trying to kill, wipe out all of my people. And she was saying, the king asked her what's the matter with her, and she had a burden. She had a burden for her people, the Jews. "For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people?" That's a burden. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, over in the New Testament, chapter 9 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." What a tremendous thing to say. And the Lord had that recorded in His eternal word. What a burden to have. Paul saying that. And he says, I want these people to be saved. These are my brothers and sisters. These are my kinsmen, my people. the Jews, Israel. I want them to be saved. And I have a heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. That's a burden. That's a burden. When you're walking around during the day, and all the things that you think about all day long, and all the thoughts that you have, is there any place at any time in your thoughts that you come across a burden for people as far as eternity is concerned? I mean, things in this life change so much that you can't, the Lord said, don't even try to think about tomorrow. Think about today, because the evil's sufficient thereof. The Bible says there's enough evil in today that that's all you can handle. Don't even think of, take no thought for tomorrow. But in eternity, things ain't going to change as far as after you leave that body and wherever you go. If you go to hell, it ain't going to change. You're there forever. If you go to heaven, it ain't going to change. You're there forever. You ever think about that? Do you believe it? Well, if it's the truth for you, it's the truth for others. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Esther said she had a burden for her people. Paul said he had a burden for the people. You know, we got to be careful. The Bible says in the last days that the love of many is going to wax cold. And it's happening. Christians, that's what Laodicean is. You're not cold or hot. You just ain't worth nothing. You ain't for spirituality and you ain't against it. You ain't for sin and you ain't against it. It's just lukewarm. That's the way you live. There's no burden in it for nothing as far as spirituality goes and as far as eternity goes and as far as the people that you bump shoulders and look in their eyes for just that split second. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now that again is Brother Paul. Now Paul treated Israel, before he got saved, he was whipping a bunch of them people and torturing a bunch of them people and killing some of those people. Christians. People that followed Jesus Christ. And then when he got saved, it all turned on him and he was getting whooped for his burden for souls and his care about Israel. It changed in him. And his burden started getting him a whooping. And he got plenty of them. And finally got executed. But he was a great apostle and still is, and he brought the gospel to us, the Gentiles, the gospel of the grace of God. He's the one that the Lord chose to give the new covenant to go tell everybody, get it written down and get it in society and get it among the people, and it spread and it got to you and you got saved. And you got God's promise of heaven and eternal life because of our brother there. That said, his heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might get saved. He wanted Israel to get saved, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But he had a continual sorrow in his heart and a burden that he wanted them to get saved. Is there anybody in your heart right now that you can think of that you want to see get saved? I'm sure there is. You probably already thought of it. Do you pray for them? I bet you do. That's a burden, brothers and sisters. That's a burden. God requires you to have a burden for souls. Excuse me. Now, as you read the scriptures, ask God to burn their message upon your heart, to make the scriptures part of you, to become part of you. God's Word to become part of you. Most Christians don't witness and win souls because they've not got a real burden. And there's a whole lot of things in this world, the love of the flesh, the love of the world, the love of the flesh and the pride of life. The world, the flesh, and the pride of life take away your burden and dilute it. But if you're walking in the Spirit, like the Lord Jesus Christ said, to walk in the Spirit, and it's a choice. If you're walking in the Spirit and doing the very best that you can to be pleasing before the Lord, then you're doing the best you can. And you will have a burden for souls because you'll be thinking about spiritual things. Now, one thing to be a good that God requires, and He don't make you fill out an application, but God requires it. And when we say God requires it, it's something that God has put within the heart that has to be in order for you to be part of soul winning. Is that you have to care. If you don't care, what good are you going to do? I mean, you got a job. And you do and you prosper better when you care about your job, right? Your family is better when you care. Everything's better when you care. You bear more fruit when you care. And what is care? Care is a burden. Sacrifice. Christ's kind of love. Not the world's kind of love. The world's kind of love is gimme, gimme, gimme. It's taken. Christ's kind of love is given and sacrifice. That's not all. God requires you to have a burden for souls. God also requires you to have a love for souls. Not only to have a burden for them to be saved and not die and go to hell, but have a love for the souls that they learn the right things and become pleasing in God's sight, get saved, and be filled with God, or have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, be filled with God's Word, and have joy. Jude, verse 21 and verse 22 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some hath compassion, making a difference." Now, I confess to you, I love compassion. The Lord has been very, very kind to me and shown me what compassion is by the things that He's done for me. At the times that I was least deserved, that He did for me and showed me His compassion. I love being compassionate to people, but I love being compassionate to people in a sincere way. Not just because I have to, but because I want to. And I want me to be that kind of person. And I really, really do. But I confess to you, when you're dealing with troubled men, you pick and choose the compassion at times. It says, just like the verse said there, "And of some compassion making a difference." There's sometimes that you, but we're talking particularly about compassion, and this time being one of them times as far as having a burden for souls. You know, one thing that people that are lost answer to is compassion. Now, I ain't talking about this wimpy, whiny, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you're having so many," blah, blah. That's what life is all about. I'm talking about compassion, real compassion, that a soul can feel from another soul. The Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some hath compassion, making a difference. You know what kind of love there is. The world's love doesn't make a difference. Not unless there's $100 in it. Right? But God's love makes a difference because people see the sacrifice in it. Now, why would they do something like that for me? God requires you to have a love for souls if you want to be a soul winner, and you have a burden for the lost and you want to see them saved. You have a burden. And you love them. You love them with Christ's love. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." If Christ came and died for everybody, then there was something wrong with everybody. If Christ come, and I say if just because we're talking right now, I know He came, and so do you, but the love of Christ constraineth us, because Jesus died for me. He did it for me. And I'm part of, but if one died for all, then we're all dead. I was dead. And I remember waking up. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what the Lord did or what, you know, thumped me on the head or whatever. The Holy Ghost came and indwelled me. And He showed me His love. And shows it to me today. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's what the Bible says. So, I mean, Christ's love is the real love. God is love. He doesn't possess love or produce love. God is love. There's something to that. Something to that. God's love is supernatural. Supernatural. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 126 and verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." You be burdened and you love souls so much that it would produce a tear, you're going to get joy out of that. And I can testify to that. I didn't produce the joy. God the Holy Ghost, because of the burden and because of the love that He produced and showed through me by witnessing and talking to people about their souls sincerely, overwhelmed me with joy. Even being cussed out. Yeah. You're going to meet the devil out there too. That's probably the front line of the battlefield, or pretty close to it, is soul winning. But the Lord takes care of you all the way through it. And you reap joy. You really, really, really do. Really do. You know, it was love that sent Jesus Christ into this sin-cursed world to die on the cross. You remember what the Bible says in John 3:16, don't you? Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the next one. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And it's love that is going to motivate you to bring Christ to the lost. It's got to be Christ's love. Christ's love can sustain you and take care of you while you witness to the lost, or you be a light to the lost, however and wherever and whenever you can. It's Christ's love, not the world's love. Big difference. Big difference. The world, you and me both know that the world could care less about souls, except dragging them down in a mud hole. So God requires you to have a burden for souls. God requires you to have a love for souls, and that's not all. God requires you to live a clean, separated life. Now, how are you going to be a light to people? And how are you going to show people the love of Christ? And how are you going to really have a sincere burden for people if you're not the same person within your house as you are without your house? If you're not the same person all the time, if there's part of you that's hidden, how are you going to be a witness? You know what I'm talking about. Just listen to what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," and he had just mentioned some sins, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You know what purging is? It's throwing overboard. You purge yourself from things that shouldn't be part of you. You live a clean and separated life. You're not part of the world. You shouldn't be playing around with the world. You're not part. You've been saved. You're dead in Christ. You're dead to this world. You're alive unto God. God requires you to live a clean, separated life. Jude verse 23 says, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Yeah, it's actually what you're doing when you're talking to somebody about their soul and bringing them to Christ, is pulling them out of the fire, because God's wrath and His judgment is already on them. They've already been sentenced. The judgment that they go to when they stand before the Lord at the white throne judgment is not a judgment of whether they're innocent or guilty. It's a judgment of how severe their judgment is going to be when He puts them in the lake of fire. Something to think about. God requires you to live a clean and separated life. You know, there's suffering in being a Christian and being a Bible believer and someone that follows Christ and believes Christ. There's suffering in it. But it's just like the Lord said, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You can't compare the things that the world will put on your shoulder and the devil will put on your shoulder and all the burden that sin will put on your shoulders compared to suffering for Christ. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Because, number one, you're doing it for all the right reasons. Number two, it's sincere. Number three, it bears fruit. And people can trust it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Boy, he got America down, didn't he? "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And that's exactly how it is right now. The idea is that the crooked and perverse nation, when they see you walk by, they see a light. That there's still light. There's something about that. I want to know more. There's people out there searching for that light. "That ye may be blameless." Nobody can blame you for anything, for being stupid and foolish. harmless. You don't hurt nobody with your sin that you're playing around with, because you're living a clean and separated life. The sons of God, without rebuke. Now, sometimes we need to be rebuked, but we need to be rebuked by our brothers and sisters and not the world. That you live a clean and separated life. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You say, well, what do I do about it, brother? Just like 2 Timothy said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Get rid of the junk. Take out the trash. You know what the trash is. I ain't got to tell you what the trash is. You know what the trash is. God the Holy Ghost living in you too. And he ain't squeamish about telling you what the trash is. He'll tell you what stinks. Just take it out. Take it out. God requires you to have a burden for souls. What we're talking about here is, what is God's requirement for you to be a witness for Christ? We're talking about witnessing in the ABCs of Christian growth. God requires you to have a burden for souls. He requires you to have a love for souls. He requires you to live a clean and separated life. Also, the next one, God requires you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me clear something up before we get into this. Now, we're not talking about like charismatic kind of filling. We're not talking about you getting more of God the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, you got all of the Holy Ghost that you're going to get. He's full in you. The question is how much of you does he control? When the Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Spirit, that means to be filled in such a way to where God the Holy Ghost is in more control than you are. Be filled that God the Holy Ghost is in full control. You don't get more of God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is either in you or he's not in you. One or the other. In the Old Testament, it was different. God the Holy Ghost could come in you and he could leave. Or he could come and stay. Or he could never come at all. But in the New Covenant, when you're born again, God the Holy Ghost comes within you. And God the Holy Ghost is a person. He's not a cup of liquid that you only get a dash here and a dash there and a dash there. That's not the kind of filling it's talking about. You have him as a person living in you, the third person of the Godhead. God, the Holy Ghost, he lives within you. And it's talking about how much control does he have of you. God requires you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That he has full control. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. It's talking about Pentecost. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. After Pentecost, you never hear of God the Holy Ghost coming in any of those apostles again or filling him again. It said that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was completely yielded to the Holy Ghost. That's what it means when you're talking about being full of the Holy Ghost. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, he got the second part of him. He got another whole ration of him that time. No. It's talking about that Stephen was completely yielded. When Paul, it talked about Paul being full of the Holy Ghost. Talking about that God the Holy Ghost was the only one talking when Paul was speaking. There wasn't no Paul in it at all. being full of the Holy Ghost, God requires that for you to be a good soul winner and for you to be a good witness and a good light in this world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 5 and 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Now, what happens when you're drunk with wine? When you drink too much? It begins to control you, doesn't it? Makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. Now, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let God the Holy Ghost have control of you. And that takes some learning, and God is very patient with us and teaches us. And I hope you're not like me and have to go through the classes two or three times. But maybe you are, I don't know. But either way, you get the lesson. And when the Lord teaches us, we come out of that lesson holy. More holy, like unto the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? God requires you to live a clean, separated life, and God requires you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, God's work's got to be done in God's way and God's power. Man pretends to legislate spirituality, but he can't. Well, you do it this way, and you do it this way, and a hut, two, three, four, left turn, right turn, up, down, pick your chin up, this, that, and the other. You don't legislate spirituality. The Lord has the Lord in His Word is our final authority. And as far as soul winning and winning somebody to Christ and talking with all the different souls in this world, every one of them is going to be different. But God the Holy Ghost knows every one of them, and He knows their hearts. You don't. But you learn them. You learn them. When God the Holy Ghost is in control, you begin to learn what He knows about people. And it's neat. It's neat. But it also brings tears and burden and love. So, one more. What is God's requirement for you to be a witness for Christ? God requires you to have a burden for souls. God requires you to have a love for souls. God requires you to live a clean, separated life. Take out the trash. Get rid of it. You don't need it. Get rid of it. God requires you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Let Him be in control of everything. And finally, or lastly, God requires you to have perseverance. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Matthew chapter 22, listen to what it says in verse 1. I'll begin there. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Perseverance. Not everybody's going to listen to you. As a matter of fact, you're going to have doors slammed in your face. You're going to have people come out and you're going to meet some of them that's got devils and unclean spirits right in front of you. They're going to get in your face, nose to nose. They're going to call the police on you. They're going to say, you ought to keep that stuff to yourself. That's what you believe, but everybody don't believe that, and you ought not push that on nobody. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to have a burden for them. And remember what their end is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God knows what you're doing and how you're doing it and what you're putting up with. He knows. He knows what them people say to you when you talk to them about the Lord. But you know what? In all that laboring, the Lord does let you reap. Because you be laboring and laboring and laboring, and you think you're not getting nowhere and doing anything spiritually, then all of a sudden, the Lord will bring somebody into your life, and everything, He'll have everything set, and all you have to do is deliver the gospel, and it's like they fall into Christ. They accept Christ right in front of you, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And it makes all of it worth it. And we say this, but we haven't been to glory yet. But to stand up there, and out of all the things that somebody could honor you for, Jesus deserves all the honor, of course, but that the Lord would present you to the Father, and you would be part of winning somebody else that's standing in the crowd out there that would have otherwise went to hell. I mean, that's eternal joy and eternal gladness. It's going to be so good, isn't it? Oh, man, sometimes I just want to complain and gripe and just, But you can't do that. Our reasons are different, and they're real, and they're truth, they're genuine. Requires you to persevere. Put up with things. This world has got so stinking crybaby now, especially America. America is the crybabiest bunch of stinking whining sissies that are in the world. They can't put up with nothing. You hurt my feelings. Taking you to court and gonna take your stuff and your kids' stuff and your grandkids' stuff. Because you hurt my feelings. Because you called me a man when I'm a girl. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. No matter what people say, no matter what people think, you know the truth. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're not wasting your time, folks. Just be devoted to the Lord. And your allegiance is to Him. And be sincere about that. Let me try something with you. Listen, I want you to say something with me. You ready? Lord, my heart has not wickedly departed from you. Did you get peace in that? Lord, my heart is not wickedly departed from you. Good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, listen what the Bible says. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You see, the Lord knows the difference in bad-doing and well-doing. And the Lord said, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be sorry enough that you want to quit doing good. This world ain't never going to pat you on the back for doing good. Never. They're going to spit on you and spite you and make fun of you and joke about you and everything else. But that don't matter. Do good anyway. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. You can't reap if you faint, because you quit. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit down and not do nothing until the Lord comes? Not do nothing for Him? Won't even take out the trash for Him? Listen, you're going to have to fight on one side or the other. You're either going to fight for the Lord and for eternal reasons and put up with stupid stuff, or either you're going to fall back into the world and be one miserable soul because you know you ain't on the right side and you know you disappointing your Heavenly Father and you ain't even happy with yourself, can't look in the mirror because you know better. You're shaming your family. And I ain't talking about your worldly family. I'm talking about your heavenly family, the bride of Christ. That ain't you. You're faithful. You love the Lord, remember? You love Him. Remember that you love Him. Talking about soul winning. Talking about what God's requirements are for you to be a witness for Christ. It ain't hard to be a witness. If you're born again, you have a witness. You have a witness. Now, not everyone's going to listen to you. Not everyone's going to be saved. But soul winning is one task in which God promises success. He said that. He said, your labor's not in vain. And He said, in due season, you're going to reap. The Lord will bring you a soul, and it'll be so special that only you can win them, and the Lord's going to allow you to win them, and you're going to reap them, and they're going to go right into the book of life, and the angels in heaven are going to rejoice, and they're going to be right along with you when you go up in the air to meet Christ. No greater joy than that, is there, brother and sister? So we're going to stop right there. Talked about some good stuff today. We're talking about witnessing, the letter W in ABCs of Christian growth. It's important. What other reason would we need to be here? I mean, why didn't the Lord take us out of here right when He saved us? I mean, we're going to heaven anyway. We're going to be with Him forever. The Bible says, so shall we be with the Lord forever. Why didn't He take us out of here right when He saved us? Why? It's got to be for some reason. Because of the same reason the thousands and thousands of Christians before us that got the gospel to us is the same reason we're still here, is to pass it on from generation to generation until the Lord comes. It says whenever the Gentiles time is fulfilled, the Lord's going to come and it's done. And then they're going to go back to faith and works in the tribulation period, and you're going to be glad you are not part of that. This is the most special time in the Scriptures having to do with covenants and testaments from the Lord. This is the easiest time there is going to be in all time to be saved. People just don't realize. I mean, if you had faith and works, you had to believe on Jesus Christ, plus you had to be good. I mean, the Lord says for us to live a clean life and live a separated life, but He also made provision for us messing up. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can do that because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus has made the payment. And He is the propitiation, our propitiation. I mean, God is satisfied with His payment. And He can forgive us legally. In His courtroom, He can forgive us. And He does forgive us, and He's faithful and just to forgive us every single time we sin. And He's very patient with us when we run off into the world and start squirreling around and committing adultery with the world. We have a wonderful God. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Let's serve Him with devotion, and let's let our allegiance be to Him. Let's be good sons of God. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to go into our next recording of witnessing in the ABCs of Christian Growth, and talk about the four steps that I've mentioned a few times, the four steps to soul winning and being a witness, the four different kinds of processes of souls being won. I'll give you, for instance, like, first of all, you got to talk to the people, you got to get the gospel out, you got to talk to the people, however it happens and however it can be done. The seed's got to be planted. I mean, but you got to go to the field, and then you plant the seeds. It could be through tracts. It could be through all different kinds of things. The Bible talks about planting the seeds and sowing the seeds, and then the seeds need to be watered, because that's all they are, is seed. The Word of God's the seed, and you put the Word of God in there, and it works on them. It works on their spirit. It works on their soul, and then you water it. You go by and you say some spiritual things, or you give them some spiritual material. You read from them from the Bible, anything spiritual, and water. And you water it. And then comes the reaping. They're ready to be harvested. And that's beautiful in itself, too. So, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm speaking about from the Scriptures, and you know it's the truth. And we just need to remind ourselves that what's important and what's not important when it comes to this witnessing. And witnessing is something that helps keep our mind in the right place while we're in the midst of a crooked, wicked world. Yeah. So, the Lord bless you. Oh, wait a minute. Let me give you these. I'll give you the scriptures for these on the next one, okay? I'm sure you was writing them down anyway. Well, I appreciate you and love you with a Christ love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you so much. And the Lord bless you for honoring Him. You honor Him by reading and studying His Word. And be assured that your labor is not in vain. The Lord bless you. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.